Right, here we go again. We're back with another weekly Sheep Fan podcast, and this is episode 200. The format is simple. We're trying to release a minimum of 4 shows a month on our bullshit platform. Members get full podcasts plus download. That's at sheepfan.co.uk. You also get part one if you want to watch part one. If you're a non-member, you can just subscribe and you get email notifications as well. You don't have to, there's no membership there required. You just get part one. All new shows are released on a Saturday, every Saturday, without fail. Podcasts are always on sheepfan.co.uk, and we also put part one on Podomatic as well. They send them out to Spotify, Amazon, Audible, Google, and Apple. I'm actually going to stop putting them on Rumble and Odyssey because it just seems like just another job that I don't need to be doing, to be quite blunt. And that's it, really. So they're not going on there this week. And I'm also, we've also had which we'll talk about in a minute. We also had a ban on YouTube. So YouTube, to me, it was a few years ago, Spent Force, when we built his own website. And you sort of just do get dragged a little bit back in there, like Greg Calwood's introduction, don't you, Chris? Because it is the best platform, whether we like it or not, from a video perspective. It does everything that you need it to do. But it's the enemy, sadly. So I don't think I'll be posting anything on YouTube, even trailers to say... Because trailers take me 2 hours to go on. And if they're going to start pulling them down, why am I going to waste my time? You know?
Yeah, go to the website's the answer, isn't it?
Yeah, every Saturday, if you want to listen, every Saturday.
When you put on Podomatic Fight, where does that go to?
I've just said Spotify, Amazon, Audible, Google. You don't even listen, do you?
No, I don't listen. Well, that's enough, though, isn't it? I mean, I listen to stuff. I do listen to stuff on those things. Because, without video.
Well, really, we do podcasts, don't we, Chris? It's like the video stuff that, you know, like they say the Huxley stuff. It's great when you do a film and you put all the stuff behind it and that. That takes me weeks to put together. Absolutely weeks. And you could actually churn more information out doing podcasts than you can actually put them together like that. You could probably do another 3 or 4 more podcasts.
Yeah. Well, like I say, I think the answer is to go to the website and join for £2 as well a month. You hate it when I say that, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. But you can join or subscribe. We're not chasing anything. It doesn't make any difference to my life whether anybody joins and pays the membership, to be quite blunt. It's nice, don't get me wrong, and I'm grateful for people joining and helping to pay for the platform. But I'd still do it anyway.
Helping to play for the platform.
Help to play compartmentalized. So you can join us on Instagram as well. Chris is building up a nice little following there.
I've actually not put anything on there for ages, to be fair. But I do interact with people on there. I get messages and stuff. It's quite nice. I quite like it. I quite enjoy it.
Yeah, I wish you wouldn't interact with me, but you do. That's better. So you can join us on Instagram. Remember, if you're buying supplements from Health Bunker, please use the promo code. I do get a lot of people where we're having to do it, just causes me another job. But try and put the promo code in there for Health Bunker products. It's always in the description, even so people, you don't have to email me, it's in the description, even though people do email me. Richard D. Hall donate information is there. He should be getting his answer very shortly. I think a couple of weeks he emailed something out a couple of weeks ago. Might try and get Ian and Nick back on in November to have a chinwag about that. As I said, I'm not going to be putting any the first part on Rumble and Odyssey. Believe me, it takes about 2 hours for things to upload on Rumble. It's a right nightmare. And you can only do one at a time as well. And yeah, it just saved me about 4 hours in my week not putting out on there. what I'm planning on is slightly changing. Not that you might have noticed we've changed the format of the podcast over the last few weeks, where we're putting the guests on in full, and then me and Chris are doing our podcast for the second part. And we quite like that format, don't we, Chris?
Yeah, because it's better for recording as well, rather than, and also if you've got a guest on, it's not fair trying to expect them to talk for 2 hours. So we usually say, you know, we'll do an hour or an hour and a half, whatever you want, and then we'll just top it up later. And it gets us to split it in half as well.
So it does, yeah. So we can do our rambling in second part. Yeah. And also, I don't think it's fair on the guest having to come on to a podcast and have a two-hour podcast and half of it's only on.
So generally, often they've got a book or something, or they're promoting something.
Exactly.
So, Yeah, I think it works like that. Ed, I don't know if I forgot to mention this to you. I sent it to Matt Landman because Matt Landman's doing the show in Frankenskies in Hadley. I think it's in Ipswich.
I wish you'd mentioned this to Matt.
No, I did. He was after. I emailed it to him and he said, is that fantastic? Are you going to go? It's about an hour away from me and it's on a Saturday. The Ansell Centre Marketplace, Hadley. IP7 5DL. So I think it's in Ipswich. The fellow who sent it to me, Michael, I think he's called, he said, be good if I could go. It's about an hour away from me. But it's on a Saturday, which is a bit difficult for me. Because my missus.
When's it on, Chris?
I think it was November the 7th, 2nd, right. on a Saturday. Yeah, 2nd of November, 7:30. Hot beverages afterwards. Frankenskies, The Lies in the Sky is Exposed, a documentary film premiere free. The Ansell Centre Marketplace, Hadley, IP7 5DL.
Is it exactly an hour away from you?
I haven't checked. Okay, I haven't checked.
All right. Okay.
But he just said that in the message. But I sent it to Matt, and he seemed over the moon. I thought that would be nice because they've done look at it. You can see that they've done a nice poster and everything.
Yeah, it's a very important film. Is that?
Yeah.
In fact, looking back, it's more important than you can ever imagine now, isn't it?
Well, it's more relevant when you look at it, when you like what we're talking to Matt about, and I can't get over how. I've listened to him for years, long before we started doing this. And he was always out there, wasn't he? He was always on,
he's a proper activist.
Boots on the ground kind of guy.
He's not like us, Lemons. With his big shield mics and the bullshit platform.
Never leave his house.
Yeah. with his cans of Red Bull and Razzle magazines.
Well, mine's coffee and coffee and red wine. But... No, it's fantastic. I could tell by his email back, he was over the moon that someone was doing something like that.
Yeah. So, well done, that person who's doing that, by the way. Yeah.
Let me get his name. Sorry. It's called Martin Nichols, it's called, not Michael. Martin.
Right.
Between Ipswich and Colchester, it is.
Matt actually said November the 2nd.
November the 2nd. Matt actually said I'd be there if I were over there.
Yeah, he would be there. He would. In fact, I'm surprised he's not flying over there.
I bet it crossed his mind.
I bet it did. Yes, knowing Matt, I bet it did.
Anyway, that's great stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll try and go, but I don't want to promise because my bloody weeks are all over the shop. Especially with me and Missus' dad's a bit ill, so... I can never predict what I'm going to be doing.
Well, you never know, Chris. I might be able to come down to yours and stay down there. I'm not making any promises, but we do come down every now and again and
turn into a jolly.
Well, yeah, whether it's a jolly seeing you or not, I don't know. But
no, not seeing me, just like coming here, just because you found a nice Indian restaurant. So not to see me
coming down and seeing your young'un and missus.
Yeah, not me.
Yeah, hopefully you'll be at work. but I think next year we have changed the format slightly. With what we've just been talking about. I'm not saying it'll be every week where we've got a guest on, but it might be like we've recorded the next Huxley one, and we'll put that on at the beginning, and then we'll do our bit in the second hour. So we're going to do that type of thing.
Chop it up a bit.
Change it around. And also I'd like to do, I know Chris is interested in it, because he's not obviously come from that angle like I have, more health podcasts, so I get some people on who do health stuff. And I'm not saying every week, but... I'll tell you why, because I'll talk about the Matrix ones in a sec, but everything we talk about, I wouldn't say we're negative, but the subjects matters are quite interesting, but they are quite dark as well, right?
Yeah.
And what I wouldn't mind doing is doing some stuff that might actually help people in their lives as well. So something that can bring a bit of positivity, which might be getting people on to say, if you try this, you can do that. I understand that some of it costs money, sadly, whether we like it or not. Mm. But some of it also might be free. Changing your diet in your mind is free, isn't it? Somebody giving you a little of a tidbit is free. Yeah. Free information is what I'm trying to say.
I wouldn't mind doing, and I'd be interested what people think about getting some more like cryptid folk on, some more slightly, left of centre kind of.
In what way?
Bigfoot stuff.
Giants and stuff like that.
That kind of stuff.
We'll get on with it.
Yeah, it's up to me, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah. So it will happen.
Typical Big Brother put down.
Yeah. No, that's encouragement. I thought you might say, I'll show you, Dom. I'll show you, I'll make sure it happens there. Put Rocky music on and...
Mine don't work like that.
No, all right, yeah.
That's how yours works. You're a group
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll show you. So somebody emailed me today, no, a couple of days ago. He said I could use his name, but I'm not going to use his name. He said he had a spoon or two of our lovely vitamin C powder, my lovely vitamin C powder.
Right.
I don't know what size the spoon was.
He went through like
he said
Porsche.
He had to pull over and run behind a tree somewhere. He drew a picture of it all. Anyway, right. He actually said he was sat on his back. Anyway, I'm not even going to get into it, but in a lay-by.
You can do that to you.
Yeah.
Were you using a ladle?
I don't know what he used or how much he had. Because I know somebody once emailed me and said, yeah, I had a spoon of that. And I said, what spoon were it? And he went, a dessert spoon.
It's a table spoon.
A dessert
not a
spoon.
Teaspoon, basically.
It actually
spoon.
Says teaspoon in the instructions. But, yeah, what I would say is about dosages of vitamin C is, one, you've got to respect...
Just reading this thing, read it out.
I felt a strong tummy grumble and quickly took a turn for the worst. Extreme, yet essential, were required. I parked up in a lay-by and climbed in the boot before hanging my ass out the back. Anyway...
Can only describe him as big soup on the road.
Yeah.
Oh, that's from, I know him. I speak to him.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well,
you can mention his name.
He's a comic anyway. No, he told me I can, but I'm not going to.
No, but that's not his real name. It's Sir Lloyd.
No. Well, said it now.
Right. Yeah, but he said you can say it, but obviously that's a pseudonym. He's not called. He's not.
No, he's that is his first name.
What, sir?
No.
No, he's funny. He's emailed me a few times.
Yeah, he's got a good sense of humour. Yeah.
He's always slagging off Hull because he lives in Hull, seeing how shit it is.
Well, you should go out in Hull to Room. I think he might have gone to Room, a nightclub. There's also another guy, I haven't got a picture here, I didn't download it, Ian. He's been on holiday in, I don't know if you can see this, Chris, can you see that?
No.
Hang on a minute, I'll try and share it with you. He's on holiday in Egypt at the moment. And he sent me a picture with a sheep farm T-shirt on.
All right.
Yeah.
Send it to me.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to do it right this second. I'm trying to share this screen with you.
Yeah, we should mention the sheep farm shop as well. If anyone's interested. In a T-shirt or a vest. I've now got about 6 vests.
Yeah, I'm trying to let me find this window here. There we go. So you can see him there in Egypt. Can you see him? Yeah. But what are you noticing in the sky, Chris, behind him?
Not a streak.
Yeah. Not a streak in the sky. No chemtrails or anything there.
I tell you what, we had a clear sky.
It looks lovely there. Looks lovely there, Ian, actually.
Yeah. I've been to Egypt.
Yeah, Egypt is nice. Yeah.
I noticed it was a blue sky yesterday morning. I thought, bloody hell, crystal blue by afternoon. And I missed it because I was going to video it, but by afternoon, you couldn't see, the sun had fogged out. And then this morning, and last night I noticed, clear sky, moon there. This morning, fog everywhere. And it had that, you know, that slate grey sky that nothing's getting through, just like a blanket. So that, odd.
Yeah, anyway, so got his mishap. Someone also said, would you consider doing a podcast about dementia or Parkinson's? To be honest, it's a subject I don't know that much about. I have looked into it, not just from the amount of people that are getting it now, but also low-fat diets cause it.
All right.
Cause it, that's probably wrong. They're part of the cause, I would say, low-fat diets, because your brain is cholesterol, or the brain matter around you. It's a high portion of fat, it's cholesterol. If you stop eating the fat that you require, your body will take it from the next available source, which is your brain, which obviously
do you think, I won't pretend I know anything about it, but do you think the cholesterol fear mongering was part of that?
Think things reduce it as well.
Massive rise in these things, and they were convincing everyone to stop getting, you know, the cholesterol were too high, etc. Don't eat too much fat. We got told not to eat butter and animal fats and all this stuff, didn't we?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And now, look where
now we're suffering from it.
Well, my missus is dad's suffering from Parkinson's.
There's a lot of people suffering from it, Chris, and it's going to be they've already said, even before 2020, that we're going to be the biggest killer in the next 50 years. Yeah. We're going to overtake heart disease and cancer.
Did they mention why?
No, they don't bother telling you that or how it's actually happened or how we've got here.
Just that they'll have a jab lined up for it, though, so don't worry too much.
And I'm not saying every diet works for everybody either, by the way. You know, it's not one size fits all for everybody. It's a bit like vitamin C.
Yeah, but
it does nothing for. So I've had conversations with people and they say, it's nonsense, it doesn't do. But I've seen brilliant outcomes with people taking it, and me and myself. I'm not saying it works for everybody. You can't say that.
Well, I was saying to you the other day, I tried the mimosa thing, and that didn't really do much for me. But then we've had people email us saying, you know, they were filling jars up with blooming...
Yeah. Well, a friend of ours, he took some, he said, I haven't seen any parasites. So that's a good thing. Good.
Yeah. You didn't have any. or didn't have two, better.
Yeah.
Same
person said he's got a friend who's got skin issues, bad psoriasis and stuff like that is what you can do. Well, again, unless you're handling your diet, unless you're eating a clean diet, no alcohol, no sugar, no et cetera, no gluten, no wheat products, all these things. And it's not, you can cheat. I'm on about you don't eat them ever again.
Yeah. Or you start from zero and then build up, see what you can. I remember you told me once, and it was a guy I worked with in a kitchen, and he wrote his money and he had skin issues. And I think you were on about someone you knew who you told him to stop drinking dairy.
Yeah.
So I went in and told him and I said, have you tried not drinking? Bear in mind this lad, right? And I remember he used to drink a pint of milk. He said, I love English milk, it's delicious. And then I remembered you saying about someone you knew, and they stopped drinking dairy and all the skin issues went away. And I told him, I said, have you tried not drinking milk? Because you're drinking like a pint a day. Gone.
Yeah.
Literally overnight. And he had like blooming, you know, up his arms, red rashes up his arms.
I wouldn't mind getting more people on with health podcasts. People, you know, I know quite a few people. I can get in touch with quite a few people with my contacts in my clinic and stuff like that. So I think that might be a good one.
You get some health fuck on. I'll get some giants and
exactly.
Bigfoots on.
I'm all over it. All of them. I think we should be different, you know. That's what we started up doing. And mix that in with the research that I do and we're away, aren't we? Bob Moran's latest picture, Kill Bill. We're going to finish on here before we introduce Matt. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. I like what Bob Moran's got to say. I like where he's going with his stuff. Not just his pictures. I've heard him on a few interviews. He's he comes across really well.
Got sex. Yeah. It's a Kill Bill one, isn't it, of Case Down. Yeah.
He's got a great sense of humour in his pictures, hasn't he?
Dark. Good.
Euthanasia just got sexy.
Who's just plugging that in, Chen? Oh, you've probably got that in its second hour, haven't you? I bet you have anyway. About the... Right.
Euthanasia. We're going to talk about that. All right, well, we hope you enjoy our conversation with our mate Matt from the US. And if you're joining us in part two, we'll see you there. If not, we'll see you next time. Have a good weekend. All right, welcome, Matt. This is another Sheep Farm podcast. This is episode 200. 200. How many hours is that, Chris? God knows. It's not 200 times 2.
600.
We've got with us Matt Landman again. It's not even a guest now, am I, Matt, really?
Good evening, Mr. Hey.
Yeah.
You're part of the furniture.
I love it.
Yeah.
Especially like I've witnessed with the US election coming up over here. There's so much hate. People are so hateful. And with their signs in their yard, you wouldn't believe it. Like, it's one thing to be like, you know, vote Trump, vote Kamala. But the signs are like, Trump is an evil bastard. You know? dude, it's like, seriously, the people. I saw one the other day. It just said 2024 yard sign. It's just like making fun of everyone else. Like, this is my yard sign. But at first, when I pulled over, I thought it said tard sign. I was like, oh, this is hilarious. yard sign is just as good.
Yeah. It is surprising, Matt, when you listen to some, you know, people who talk conspiratorial, how they still believe in the Republican-Democrat thing with you Americans, I mean. And we get over here with, you know, conservatives and Tories.
Labour.
Do you not think it's all just a shit show?
Labour.
Conservatives and Tories.
I'm a big supporter of the democratic system, and I'll be voting. I'll be sending in about a dozen mail-in ballots myself. No, it's actually absurd. It's absurdity. Well, people don't even know. I mean, I don't know if you all know about the Electoral College. If your state, like I live on the West Coast of the United States, it's going to be all blue no matter what I do, right? And the vote doesn't matter. So it's like, why would I mean, not that the vote even mattered anyways, but it's total asinine bollocks. It's really absurd the whole process over here. I mean, and I mean we can talk about it a lot, really. It's just, there's both sides of the coin are totally bought and sold. And I mean, did you guys catch up with the Trump assassination thing?
Yeah, which one? There's been three now.
Oh yeah, now there's been three. No, the last one, the third one, they found somebody that had a gun in their car, or a couple guns in their car, and they're like,
that's unusual for America.
Right, right. and they're like, this must have been an assassination. I mean, they had no reason to even say that he was going to be assassinating Trump, you know.
Didn't even know there was a third one, to be fair. I didn't know that.
Yeah, there was a roadblock and someone had a couple firearms and they got locked up with a $5,000 bail, which is like nothing. And they're like, he must have been looking to kill Trump. It's okay. But yeah, the whole system is very upside down. And if your state is going to go one color, definitely, then there's no incentive to even vote anyways. But
I vote pretend black woman. Yeah.
Yeah.
But even on a surface level, even forgetting that it's all a bit conspiratorial or whatever, even the fact that you've got to have tons of cash to run and you've got to have all these millions behind you to, you know, go around. So it's already...
Nonsense.
It's already nonsense, isn't it? It's already up for grabs, really. It's before you even think that they're both basically run by the same people, aren't they?
Have you seen that she's been saying now she's black when she's really Indian? And found out that she's not actually black. The woman that she's been saying black wasn't even a mother. They don't even know who she is.
Sounds very Obama-esque.
Yeah, well, an Obama's come out and told all black men if they don't vote for her that they're sexist.
All right, sexist.
Yeah, racist would be a good one, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, no, it's really sad. It's actually really shocking. I can't help but witness the hate that's brewing. There's so much hate brewing on either side of the coin, and it's staggering. There's one thing that is happening, though, that is up my alley, is there's all these fingers being pointed right now about weather warfare. And I mean, if it takes politics to wake people up, I guess that might be something decent. But there's so Georgia is like one of the big swing states, and it'll probably be like very impactful in this next election. And the hurricanes that have hit Georgia recently, this Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor, she came out publicly and said that the Democrats with Biden and Kamala, whatever, are engineering the weather and engineering these storms. Of course, probably she's going to get thrown under the bus, and then you're going to be a crazy conspiracy theorist if you think that's true or whatever. But it is, you know, kind of true, and it is waking people up. But I believe like it's in a weird radical way, the way that people are being awakened from their slumber, and then really they're just going to get armed and be hating each other and even more. But it's fascinating what's happening. It really is fascinating, because Georgia, for one, the east side of Georgia is very city, Atlanta and whatever, and it'll be very blue. And the west side of Georgia is very rural and very red. And the west side of Georgia just got totally annihilated and flooded and what have you. And if you're underwater and you don't have a home or a voting booth to go to, you're not going to be able to vote. So it does look to be like some sort of play, possibly. I mean, I don't know. It's all insane. But some people are waking up, and politics is, you know, behind it. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think that this next election is going to be something. I think there's going to be like a lot of something. I don't know what exactly, but there's going to be a lot of debate, you know, controversy, and probably people be on the edge of their seats and then fighting the fake assassination thing. It really split up the truth. No, I can't believe how many awake truther kind of people didn't see that was total nonsense. Like, people are so stuck in their lane with politics that Trump, I mean, like, for one, is his ear grew back like a salamander. And, yeah. I mean, all these
like spider's aspects. Leg. It grew back that quick, didn't it? Like spider's leg. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the people that claim to be, you know, awake to all these things, you know, 9/11, chemtrails, you name it, they're still behind Trump full on and would never admit that was an inside kind of play, right? So I think politics really just
he's got loads of wrestling around him as well. He did some wrestling commentating, didn't he? And that was a classic wrestling move, wasn't it? Where they go down, they're surrounded, and they come up covered in blood. And then, Hulk Hogan, where his thing ripping his shirt off, going, jump! I can't stop watching it.
Insanity. Yeah, and it was so staged. Obviously so staged. All of it from beginning, the whole thing.
No, man. I don't think that guy carrying that 12-foot ladder with a rifle over his shoulder and putting it up on that police station and climbing onto the roof. that wasn't a staged event. It's just we're conspiracy nuts to think that, Matt. I mean, we need to go to China and be reprogrammed.
Even if it was a real one, it's just been forgotten about, hasn't it? It's kind of just move on. I've noticed that it's almost like, just news attention's got shorter and shorter, hasn't it? It's just, if it's not out there in the lexicon, it's over and it's gone. That Trump thing happened, whatever.
Yeah, don't matter.
About.
Yeah.
No, let's worry about
like
today.
Like for JFK's assassination, we're still talking about it now.
Yeah.
Trump got Trump apparently got assassinated and that's it. That day, that's the news story, and then day after it's gone.
It's gone. Yeah.
Imagine. It's true. It's true. It's weird. People are, they're inundated with information. And I mean, if you just look at how the media plays everybody with the Israel and Putin and all these different things, every day there's something to scare the crap out of people. Right. So what's next? Right. Everybody opens up their computer or their newspaper and then they're scared about the next thing. And when you're in that frequency of fear, you're not going to remember yesterday.
I was going to bring this up actually for you guys because I forgot to mention this last time we did, I think, because on the British TV, I don't know if you've ever seen a film, Matt, called Threads. Because I watched a bit of it the other night and it's just a coincidence that this has been aired now on British TV. It was made in the 80s. Me and Don watched it when we were kids. And you had an American one, but I can't remember what it was called. And it was basically about a nuclear bomb dropping in Sheffield in north of England. And around the same time, you had an American one, which I can't remember where it was. It might have been in Chicago somewhere. But they both aired it, and they've been airing it now. And it's terrifying because it's like really gritty, really... You know, just really, really great. I mean, my missus was watching it with her mouth open, like, it's just, and I turned it off. I said, I don't think you should watch it because it's scaring you to death. But when I was a kid, I watched it at school. But imagine I was at school and it was basically, showing a nuclear bomb drop in Sheffield. And it absolutely terrified me. I couldn't sleep for days and days. And it was one of them where all the kids were talking about it the next day at school. Because when the bomb lands, a woman pees herself and it shows a milk bottle melting. And then it continues for another hour where they're all trapped underground and stuff and people are, they're all their hairs falling out. It's just awful. It's really, really depressing. And everyone watched it in the 80s and they're airing it now. Why would you air it right now when all this shenanigans is going
on? I was just looking at some newspaper clips and it said it were the scariest film ever made.
It's terrifying. Yeah. It was terrifying. Not, I'm not saying
unnerving.
Me
I
now.
Think the word is unnerving.
Yeah. But what a thing to throw at kids. Everybody was watching it. I'm pretty sure it were on like 9 o'clock at night. So, a time when everyone had to, but I can't remember what the American one was called. I'm sure it was out about this, probably the same year, I'm sure.
Horrible. Yeah, let me know. I'd love to watch it. I mean, it's the propaganda. It does its purpose. It serves its job. But when you're stuck in that lower vibration, which if you're like spiritually oriented and you know about chakras and stuff, that lower frequency where there's lust and fear and greed and all those things, if you're not able to rise out of that, you're very easily controlled and told what to do next. And you're literally in this PTSD state of mind. And people, I mean, you can tell right now when people, my landlord, he tried to bring up politics to me the other day and I just brushed it over. He told me, I'm terrified. He just says to me, I'm terrified of the possibility of Trump being in the office. And I'm like, yeah, you're scared to death. I see that. Like the look in his eyes, he's scared to death. It's like, dude, get a life.
Yeah, whatever they've got planned is going to unfold. Whatever, I don't think there's much his vote's going to do for it, is it?
No. Maybe Elon Musk can save us. Maybe he'll be the next one after these clowns have been voted out. Maybe he'll run for president.
Well, he's going door to door telling people to vote for Trump, so because he's on the Trump cabinet. Out of control. So, hey, I was just over in London and I couldn't believe about this whole register. I know I'm changing the topic, but register your chickens. I'm sure you guys have made jokes about this.
How mad is this? Where is it? No, not that one. Where is it? There you go. Register your chickens. Are we going to talk about that?
Good. Yeah, nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. No,
it's beautiful. It's great. Yeah. It's
to
great.
All the people who tried to register their roast chickens from Tesco's, have managed to crash the Defra website, and now it's not working. Stop being all clever. Stop sniggering.
Well, they did say chickens, so they got to be a little bit more specific next time. You know.
And Defra, Matt Defra, is the government agency that runs all the rural farming and community. I forget, Department of something farming. Anyway, and it's funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Right.
A massive chunk of it, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, they're all behind it. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. Like, what if you ate your chicken that day and now they're not alive? I guess they're going to have like photo IDs for the chicken, selfies with your chicken to make sure it's actually a real thing.
Yeah,
it's insanity. And we see the writing on the wall there, right? They're going to probably come out with some bird flu and then say, oh, yeah, you know, the people that are on the list, we got to now send us proof that your chicken's dead. Or we're going to come to your house, make sure that you don't have the chickens anymore, or whatever that stupid shit, you know. Unreal. Unreal.
I don't know where our ancestors would say about all this nonsense. Mm. Anybody's, you know, going back 200 years.
Well, they'd be shaking their head. I'm right now, I feel really drawn to like learning indigenous plants, and I'm learning about the food that's around me. There's mallow. Mallow grows everywhere and it's edible. There's so many different things that I'm learning about, horsetail and you name it. My ancestors are shaming me for not, and my parents and my school, this educational system I got brought up in, all these sort of things. I can't believe how little that I know about my surroundings.
You know, someone what I, mean? Someone I work with who helps me with my supplement range, he is fourth generation master herbalist. So his great granddad, his grandma, and his dad, and now him. That's how much knowledge they've got. And he's only in his early 30s. And his dad, I met his dad about 15 years ago, and his dad's an iridologist as well. I don't know if I mentioned this, where when I first met him, he looked in my eyes, right? I didn't say I love you or anything like that, but he looked in my eyes and said, you've had an hernia operation. Never met the guy before, right?
Mm-hmm.
But not just an hernia, a belly button hernia operation was quite specific. And so, yeah, amazing guys. But what I'm trying to say is that what they've got there, one person in every village had that skill. Now we haven't even got one person in the bloody, probably in a county in this country or a state in yours who's got that skill.
No, it's really important to pass this stuff on to the children, because what are we really passing on to the children? How to shake their ass on TikTok? I mean, like what is really being passed on? It's pretty sad. So I think it's very critical for us to, especially if there's going to be a blackout and all, and the information is going to be swept from underneath us, we have to carry on something that's important, you know, like how to forage and different things. So I think honoring the youth is more important now than ever, really. Mm.
So what were you over in London for?
Neil McRae, the author of Green and Tooth and Nail, he wrote a book about net zero. And so I went down to the South Coast, went to Bexhill. It was a beautiful, beautiful place, and interviewed him. It was wonderful, actually. I got to check out some of England, which I never had done before, and checked out London. And then I have also now a London distributor for Sparrow. So I'm going to plug that, sparrowgear.co.uk.
Oh, we're going to ask you. Sparrow,
So sparrowgear.co.uk, it's launched, and we're slowly building up the inventory and different things. But it's available now for the UK, so you don't got to pay the VAT or deal with me. You don't got to deal with me, you know, which is a beautiful thing. So that's happening. And I had this kind of epiphany the other day. I was like, what am I doing? You know, is this really going to work out? But I do think, and I don't want to be Debbie Downer and make predictions or anything like that, but what WTF with all this fake Aurora Borealis nonsense? It's just insanity. But I try to see the writing on the wall, right? Silly colors in the sky. And oftentimes people can't even see them in real life, but they can see them only on their phone. And that's just total idiot. I mean, it's just insanity to me that people think that they can see something on the phone, but not with their real eyes. You know what I mean? Mm. Samsung has on their phones, if you take a picture of the moon, they'll scan the internet and actually give you a picture off the internet or an AI composite image. There, you're ready. You're ready. Look at you go. Yeah. And so this is HARP induced. HARP can electrify the atmosphere and make this light show. You can even look it up on the HARP website for people that don't know. And it's really ego driven. This was on my bucket list too, as a person growing up in the world. I was like, I can't wait to one day go to, you know, Alaska or Iceland or whatever and see this, the real Aurora Borealis. But people now are just being played. People are seeing it all the way down in Australia, right? Mm. And so now we've seen it now two times for the whole world. And I think this is definitely some sort of conditioning. And it's this easy play for them to use an EMP and then knock out everything. And then, like Klaus Schwab said, build back better, because that was a horrible German accent. Don't mind me. But, you know, I think that they're going to wipe out everything and then problem, reaction, solution, come back with a new version of, you know, the internet and make you scan your QR code tattoo on your forehead or take a, you know, selfie of your arse or whatever. I don't even know. But like, I think that likely once everything gets blacked out and they come back, everybody's gonna want Sparrow stuff because I've got this new like cigar case thing. I mean, like a cigar box that you put your stuff in, your hard drives and whatever, and it's protected from EMF and EMP or whatever. But I think that eventually once that happens, people will start scratching their heads and be like, I need a Faraday bag now because I don't want this to happen again. But then also I think the mainstream is going to totally attack the sun. Like the sun is now evil and the solution will likely be chemtrails, which is sure. You know, they've already said they need to dim the sun to slow down global warming or whatever. But if the sun supposedly knocks out, you know, the family photos on your iPhone, people won't care. They'll be loving and praising the chemtrails, you know, to block the evil sun, which we all know the sun brings life and should never be blocked out. It's got the spiritual download codes and vitamin D and all these beautiful things. The sun is good. Sun is life, especially for plants and everything. But I think this campaign is to, what do y'all think about this? Of course, you think what I think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 100%. Go on, sorry, Chris.
No, I'm going to say, you were saying about doing your thing. You've still got to just carry on, haven't you? You can't
wait for them to
exactly. To, I mean, yeah, they could organize any kind of false flag 9/11 stroke, probably a weather event
2020 stroke.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. You've got to carry on, haven't you?
I think
about it in a way.
The lead up to 2020 was health, and this is all weather. That's what it seems like. And they're going to use technology. A bit like what they were saying about if anything did happen in 2020, it wasn't caused by a virus that was leaking this green steam out of a lab in bloody China. It was some dial somewhere that they turned up and a frequency was zapped a few people just to make it look like there was something happening. And that's it. Or it was sprayed from a plane that poisoned people that ended up in the food supply, air, etc., water.
I definitely know firsthand that it was a turn up of the frequencies because my Faraday phone bag stopped working in March 2020, right when the lockdowns happened. I had to upgrade the phone bags and I thought I was all set. And then when the Omicron came out again, the phone bag stopped working. It was obvious that the phones were being cranked up and now they're cranking up the weather. It's wild what's happening with the hurricanes and all of it. It's really something. It's really something, the timeline that we're experiencing firsthand of the weather weaponization and how we've gotten to where we're at. And it's actually really divisive too. You know, you'd think people would be, you know, scratching their heads. I mean, hurricanes don't gain steam over land and then flood mountain communities. And it's just all these things that have never happened before, like the Aurora Borealis being in Australia, like all these things that have never happened before. And, you know, you've got this New World Order, Agenda 2030, and all these things that are rearing their ugly heads. And people, a lot of people aren't even batting an eye. They just take the mainstream narrative for what it is.
I mean, there have been people that have woken up, but even people, let's just say they realized in 2020 that there's something not right. I would say there's only a small minority of them that can still think 360 degrees, that includes everything. Most of them people thought it were about jabs, and now they've moved on and got on with their life again. Very, very small. We've had a couple of people on who came to the conclusion in 2020. One of the guys, Mike Yeadon, was part of Pfizer many years ago, and he realized early on that it was a con. But he's really jumped over the fence and looks at everything, whereas very few people like that. Very few that I've met, anyway.
Yeah, you've got to look at it all. I like to say truth is a frequency, right? And once you start riding that frequency, that vibration, that resonance of truth, all those other truths are there waiting for you. You know, it's right. They're right there waiting for you. It's up to you to open your eyes or not, you know, and with the lockdowns and everything, you had the opportunity to open your eyes to other things, Franken skies and freaking dinosaurs, you name it, you know, open your eyes. It's all available. Trust yourself, trust your instincts, trust your gut. Like, you know, the truth, you don't have to have the mainstream tell you how to think, how to feel, what to think, what to feel. It's just absurdity.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? Did you see that clip of John Kerry talking about, Dom played it on one of our shows, about how they need to, we've got to stop the way people are getting their information, because it's all basically saying we need to put a law in place so we can do whatever we want. No one can get their information from anywhere else.
Wow. Yeah.
They seem like they're shitting themselves out, Matt, doesn't it? It just seems like they seem like rats in a corner, I think. The system seems like a rat in a corner. Because the BBC had one as well saying the same thing. Don't look for your information anywhere. You must look to us, you know, people that have lied for the last 4 years and beyond. But they basically saying don't get any information from anyone else.
Well, if you think about it, during the lockdowns, there's all these alternative medias popped up because YouTube and all that was so heavily censored. You had Rumble and Rockfin and Odyssey and BitChute. I mean, Telegram and Signal, and all these things were the product of all the lies being so pervasive that there was now a market for truth. And of course, the powers that be are pissing their pants. They're like, oh, damage control. What are we going to do? You know, Joe Biden, I don't know if y'all saw that. And I don't even know if he's human anymore. He seems like such a robot. He had to come out. He had to come out and say, oh, we're not engineering the weather. How could you possibly think that? But what's really funny is, I should have sent you the clip ahead of time. He says, the people think that we're engineering the weather. Pause. We're engineering the weather? That's ridiculous, right? And the way that he said it really reminded me of Bill Clinton. He goes, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Pause, period. Monica Lewinsky. You know, it's like how you get past things with your periods and your wordplay and whatever. And I mean, really, they're disclosing to you what they're actually doing, but people don't understand like the way the words can be played. It's really fascinating, actually.
You must be quite pleased with yourself, though, Matt, in a way, when, you know, now it is coming to the fore that the weather gets manipulated, and when you were on about 8 years ago, like a lunatic, and everyone's, you know, and now it doesn't sound that crazy anymore, does it, to most folk, I don't think.
Well, I'm feeling vindicated, yeah, but I was on vacation when it all happened. So I was like, I couldn't be bothered, man. I wanted to just focus on what I was doing. I went to Idaho and got some interview with a doctor, Dr. Carl Felt, amazing person, talking about Alzheimer's and statins. Oh, Dom, you know about statins?
Yeah.
Really bad. Yeah, oh, yeah. The heart medication as well, and statins. Yeah. They basically lead right to Alzheimer's because they remove the cholesterol from your brain. Cholesterol's good. We need it.
I've seen it happen in front of my eyes with a business partner of mine going back into the 2000s. Something happened one weekend and they rushed him into a hospital and they said he'd got, not necessarily a heart condition, but it was a minor heart thing. And they put him on this diet and then they gave him statins. I said, whatever you do, don't take statins. This were about 2006. And I said, because what it'll do, it'll reduce all your fat in your brain. And basically your brain will start short circuiting because that cholesterol is your brain fluid, basically, the fluid that supports you.
It's the protector. Yeah, it's the protector. And then you become vulnerable to the toxic environment, chemtrails and all the stuff. And then it leads to Alzheimer's. It's like very easily proven. And if you just stop taking that pharma med. So yeah, I went to Idaho and met some cool people. And then back to back, I went to London. And then I checked my emails and my, you know, Facebook and whatever, and all like millions of people are waking up to weather engineering all of a sudden. And I hadn't been online for 3 days only. Yeah. And people were like, oh, Matt's dead. I'm like, come on. I'm like literally, like people are so concerned because I wasn't on top of it, right? So I'm playing catch up now. I'm still playing catch up, but it's
no, crazy. I don't think you're playing catch up, Matt. I think people are playing catch up with you, mate.
Right.
Yeah. Because I mean, the weather modification thing was one of the when you saw the 9/11 stuff and you saw the technology that's possible, and you know that's a similar technology to what they're using, because they used a hurricane there as part of that weapon. It's the same process, isn't it? All to create this energy, they've got to have this these things happening. And I got a video of a water spout, which were quite interesting.
Pop! Oh my God!
Sorry, muted everybody, but the water spout is, it's a weird shape, and these things are manufactured. You can see where it's coming from. It's, but the how much of this weather is controlled, do you think, Matt? Because obviously it rains and it snows and things like that, but how much now can they got control of the weather?
100% is controlled, except for when the skies are nice and blue and clear, which is few and far between. Yeah. Which I encourage everyone, when you've got a nice blue sky, to get out there and enjoy it. Cancel your plans. Ignore your family. Don't feed your kids. Go outside. I'm just kidding. But go outside and really enjoy it, because those blue skies are your days to absorb the vitamin D and enjoy it, because it's such a different frequency when they're spraying. Do you mind if I go over a little weather weaponization timeline to break it down to people?
Yeah.
So I've got this, don't mind me, but I think this is very important, and then we can riff on it. But so for people to grasp how we got to where we're at and how they are controlling the weather on a daily basis all around the world, especially in the West, you know, where we all live. And then if anybody hasn't seen the movie Frankenskies starts in 1920 and then goes to 2017 when it was created. And I'm now working on a sequel. And if you guys have any suggestions for environmentalists, that's kind of a bad word nowadays. But if you got Greta and you can let her come on my show, I'm just kidding.
Over in England. Yeah. Frank Cox, he's a good one.
I'd love to find the right people. I'm still, you know, searching for authors and firefighters and herbalists and arborists and different people that can be in the movie. But I've gotten some amazing interviews, and I'm slated to have this thing done by the end of next year. But check this out. Okay, going all the way back to 1891, the U.S. government has a patent for a method of producing rainfall. So already back then in 1891, they're figuring out how to control rain and patenting how to do it. And there's all sorts of patents that kept coming out after 1891. I recommend people search online for this article titled 175 Patents Proving Geoengineering and Weather Control Are Real. Okay, 175 patents. If you just look that up, you can find this article. And then it really ramps up in 1962, right? 1962, Lyndon B. Johnson, he gives a speech just one year before he takes out JFK, because I think he was behind that, you know, but that's up for debate. LBJ gives a speech at Southwestern Texas State University to the alumni as they graduate. And he says, control the weather, control the world. And that little bit is in Frankenskies, the movie, which is a nice chronological timeline piece, frankenskies.com. Okay, in the same year, 1962, when he gives this speech, control the weather, control the world, there's a project out of the Air Force and the military called Project Storm Fury. So Storm Fury, like making storms into a furious, controlled weapon. Okay, and Project Storm Fury is from 1962 to 1983, 21 years long, and it's all based on weaponizing hurricanes. So for 21 years, the U.S. government learned how to weaponize hurricanes. And now what are we from there, like 60 years later or something? It's quite obvious that they've sharpened their tools and they know how to do this. 1967, Project Popeye, they flood Vietnam publicly, weaponizing the weather. And the United Nations actually comes together and has to vote. And all the countries in the world vote no on weather warfare because it impacts neighboring countries and all this sort of stuff. So it was very public then. So a lot of things happened between then and 1999, but we're going to fast forward to 1999, where HARP first began operations in Alaska using atmospheric electrification to steer the weather. And now they use, which has evolved into NEXRAD and Doppler systems. These Doppler systems double as weather predictors, but it's really easy to predict the weather when you're controlling it, right? And they electrify the atmosphere. And so over in Florida, when we just got this Hurricane Milton, there was a lot of weird phenomenons that happened. We had a really crazy purple sky, and then also car batteries stopped working for a lot of people right when the storm was approaching. And that was due to the electrification of the atmosphere and the purple, which Prince might have even been talking about with purple rain. The atmosphere, when the electrification hits, we're talking about trillions of watts of electricity hits the oxygen. It causes a reaction, kind of like when you put a fork in a microwave, and it causes this purple haze. In 2003, there's a patent for hurricane and tornado steering. This is all public information, right? And if you got a patent in 2003 for hurricane and tornado steering, you better believe that it's being utilized, right?
Yeah.
And then in 2009, Bill Gates and Microsoft, they purchased a patent called Hurricane Control. And in this, it details the ability to stop and halt hurricanes dead in their tracks. So it's kind of like when General Motors or Automotive Industries, when there's like a new car engine that comes out that runs on water or whatever, they'll buy it up acting like they're going to do good and then sweep it under the rug and it'll never come out. Well, Bill Gates is the one who owns the patent for stopping hurricanes. And obviously no hurricanes are being stopped. So, and he's the largest farm owner in the world, right? So regions are devastated, and then he can gobble it up for pennies on the dollar along with his billionaire technocratic megalomaniac buddies and whatnot. 2016, scientists actually created a Category 5 hurricane in a lab. So to say that this is all science fiction, it's not, if they're literally creating hurricanes in a lab. 2019, I'm almost done. There's a patent for propagating sound through bodies of water to generate direct wind for the purpose of moderating weather patterns. And then, of course, the U.S. Air Force has a document called Owning the Weather by 2025. But this 2019 propagating sound patent, come to find out that in the old world, in the old days, in the old, you know, Tartaria and all that sort of stuff, church bells were used to break up storms. So using acoustics and frequencies to save us from bad weather, it's an old world tech, but it's all been kind of swept under the rug. I'm learning so much about these bells. So I went to Philadelphia, right, as a kid, and they have one of the bells there. And they said, they were ringing this bell so much, excited for liberty, right? Like, it's called the Liberty Bell. They were banging the bell so happy that they broke it, right? And that's why it's got this big crack in it. But all the bells were all broken around the same time in order to hide frequency healing technology, I believe, because if we knew about the power of cymatics and frequency and resonance, then the world would be a different place, you know, free energy and all that sort of stuff. So I just thought that that'd be good, useful information for people, especially this Article 175 patent that proved geoengineering and weather control exists. A lot of people think that this is just, we're coming up with this, we're pulling this out of our arse. You know, it's not at all like that. This is just fact-based things. And if you start to look at the sky with the right lens and knowing of the patents and what have you, you can see it for yourself, right?
Yeah. I mean, as soon as they start passing UN legislation or NATO legislation that you can't use weather weapons on other countries, then it exists, doesn't it?
That was the agreement, wasn't it? Then it's all right to trounce your own nation, but no one else's, basically, it seems.
Yeah, or it's all right for another nation to trounce you and you to trounce another nation, probably. I don't. But didn't JFK, I've got a video of JFK somewhere saying a similar thing to Lyndon Johnson as well about weather modification.
Yeah, they were all talking about it. I started thinking that maybe JFK wanted it to not be so evil, you know? And they were like, all right, because JFK wasn't really playing ball with all the evil stuff they wanted to do with the Federal Reserve and the weather warfare and all. I mean, for it to be the exact same time when he got offed, it's pretty fascinating if you think about the timeline and how we got to all the way to where we're at now. I mean, it's fascinating. I saw you pull up a lithium thing. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. There you go. Lithium field. This is a lithium leach field. This is what electric car batteries. Nobody better see this. Obviously, we're doing a podcast, but it's a neurotoxic that a bird landed on this stuff dies in minutes.
So wow, it's beautiful.
Again, it says there, take a guess what it does to your nervous system.
Are they massive, then, fire? Then is that
that's a field, isn't it? It's a massive
So you can see, just for anyone watching it, it looks like a load of yellow fields. With
different colours, aren't they? Yeah, different alkalines. But
judging by those roads next to it, they're massive, aren't they?
They're huge. Yeah, they're acres big. But I don't know where that is. But if you look at that, say you looked at that from above, that would just look like a massive battery. In effect, which takes it to a different point. Going back to your harp stuff, is this the type of thing? This is like an outdoor battery, isn't it? Are these the type of things that they're utilizing? And how many are there? Obviously, this is in a desert somewhere, I would have thought, or somewhere the.
What do you mean the harp thing could be interacting with that? To therefore, it would make sense, wouldn't it?
Again, we've got Elon. Apparently firing, you don't believe all this nonsense, but this Starlink runs on something, doesn't it? Whether it's fiber optics underground, they're certainly trying to wrap it around the technology that they're utilising.
Don't you slag Elon off that. He's just reversed his rocket ship to make it land like Thunderbird.
Yeah. I had a video of that as well. But
So obvious. They reversed, unreal.
What were you going to say about lithium, Matt?
Well, I could do a whole show on it. I'm learning a lot about thermal runaway and lithium, and the lithium batteries are tragic. So these lithium batteries are on a lot of things, not just electrical vehicles. They're on solar-powered homes, and they're actually in the smart meters, which is blowing my mind. So lithium batteries, if they start to overheat, once they get to 140 degrees Fahrenheit, I'm just going to do it all in Fahrenheit. Sorry, everybody. 140 degrees Fahrenheit, they have this thing called thermal runaway where they just escalate in heat and get up to 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit, which is like 3,000 Celsius, right? So these smart meters that are attached to people's homes, when they overheat and fry, they're attached to the wiring, which is conductive of your entire house. So this thing is superheating the inside of your home, and this is one of the reasons why these homes are being...
But it's not the type of heat that we think, is it? It's like a white heat. I mean, when I started researching this, and I'm not good on electrics or anything like that, but I started studying dirty electricity in the house and the house wires and trying to find ways to getting rid of the dirty electricity. That what you're saying there, this is another add-on to that dirty electricity. You're basically inside an electric cage, aren't you?
I will tell you this: I've had more emails and texts about getting a smart meter put in. I've had more about that than I have about having a blood pressure taken to get me on statins. But actually, they literally don't. They don't just say, "Would you like a smart meter?" They say, "We're coming to install it. Is this day all right for you?" And you have to say no.
And have they offered you a donut or any pizza or anything like that?
Yeah, and 50 quid. 50 quid.
I've seen that they've offered free pizzas. They're back to doing that, offering donuts and free pizzas. You know, one thing that's really beautiful for listeners in the United States, it's a monopoly. Everywhere you live, there's a monopoly, and you don't have any choices for power. In the UK, there's actually choices. Do you all have options of who you get your power from?
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, it's very strange because you. There's so many companies now. None of them are English as well. A lot of them, the biggest ones are like French and stuff like that. Mm. And every year, they double your price, and you've got to find a new company to supply it. And all you do is start paying someone else, and then it goes back down to a bit cheaper. It's a very bizarre system.
It's insane and weird, but at least on a positive note, you all have options.
The delusion of an option.
So each company has different smart meter kind of rules and laws and what have you, and there are the abilities to opt out or choose a different company, and with competition, maybe people aren't as subject to it. But in the States, it's like, we're coming in and we're putting the smart meter on your house and you have no choice. Right. In California and some like places that are more hippie and open-minded, they do have the option to get your analog meter, and they'll charge you a bunch of money and whatnot. But there's states all around the country where they won't. You have no choice. And the smart meters are pretty tragic.
I did hear they've got a quota, a government quota, and they obviously get bonused over here for how many they get fitted, and that's why they're constantly bugging you. Like on a weekly basis, I'm asked, when do you want your smart meter fit? Do you get asked them?
Especially in our clinic as well.
And then they ring you and they say, why don't you want it? And I'm like, well, I just don't want a smart device in my house. Why? It's none of your business. Cough.
Really?
Even from a billing perspective, everybody's bills always go up. So they sell you it on saving money and your bills being more accurate. They're not more accurate for you. the more accurate for the company.
For them. Yeah, well, it was in local, it was in actual in the media that they don't actually work as well. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, that's one downside. But the other downside is that the frying you.
And also the lithium battery thing. I read an article the other day. I think eBay have stopped selling lithium batteries, you know, for scooters and stuff. Those little electric scooters.
Scared of getting sued.
They keep blowing
up. They're a big liability. The smart meters,
I've noticed a lot of yachts are going up because what they're doing, you know, they're super yachts. Because what they're doing is they've obviously got these scooters. And a lot of the water toys and stuff like that have got batteries that they recharge.
And yeah, they'll be the same now.
Leave one overnight, yeah.
I went to Norfolk last year, I think, and got on the flats thing and got one of those little speedboats out. And it was electric. And I actually asked the guy, I said, they'd had them a year or so. And he said, the batteries are like 30 grand. And then you just put the chassis on it. But it's like the electric cars, isn't it, really?
The irony is, you know, this like these lithium fields. If you remember that film Avatar, well, it were about mining, weren't it? It were about stripping the mining it. And it reminded me of the company Glencore. Glencore are one of the largest mining companies in the world. They basically do all the gold and diamonds and et cetera, and lithium. So all these people who are drinking, wearing the sandals and charging the electric car up, eating lentils and stuff and thinking they're saving the world, really, they're actually worse than drilling for oil.
I like lentils, fine.
Way worse, and the cobalt too. I got the book Cobalt Red. The cobalt mining industry is tragic and very horrible for the environment. So I learned about, speaking of smart meters and dirty electricity, I'm pretty sure the way that the smart meters gauge if you've got a light on or something is they surge dirty electricity through your home every few seconds, and then there's like a feedback loop. So they know, oh, that's on now. Is it on now? Oh, that's on now. Is it on now? Oh, that's on now. And all that surging of dirty electricity comes out of your outlets. And the smart meter, I mean, yeah, it has dirty EMF because it's blasting the RF, the radio frequencies to the next smart meter or whatever and sending the signal up to over 30 miles. So you got like a little cell tower on your house. But the dirty electricity aspect of it is super toxic as well, along with, of course, the lithium ion battery.
The Wi-Fi, all the other stuff that throws into the mix.
Yeah, it seems like it's part of the 5G infrastructure, and I think avoiding it is the best thing that anybody can do. So just say no, switch power companies, ask for an analog meter, do whatever you can to avoid these things. And then back to the lithium, really quick, the hurricane that hit North Carolina, it seems like a big land grab because they have these high-quality quartz, but there's no high-quality quartz for the semiconductor industry in the United States except for this town of Spruce Pine, North Carolina. And then also there's a big lithium mine there. So it seems like a big play in the lithium, quartz, Elon Musk, electric battery, AI revolution nonsense. Not just Agenda 2030 pushing people off their land and all that. There's a lot of things going on with this weather warfare right now.
And didn't Duke's Energy as well, they opened the floodgates to the reservoir, didn't they, and flooded a bunch of people a few years ago. And they did it this time as well.
And they were behind the Hawaii Electric as well with the Lahaina fires.
Right.
These fires, when they come ramping through, what you're supposed to do is turn off the electricity and leave the water on so the firefighters can fight these fires. But the opposite is happening. They're leaving the electricity on so these smart meters can fry and these electrical fires can ramp up. And they're turning the water off, which is just criminal, treasonous, you know. And then, over in Asheville, North Carolina, which, mind you, for people that don't know, this Hurricane Helene, it gained strength over the land. It went into the mountains at 2,300 feet above sea level, 300 miles from the ocean, and then it dumped all of this water. It's never happened in history of hurricanes, anything like this, you know. And so the storm to intensify over land and then go in the mountains and flood out these communities. Asheville, North Carolina was where I live on the West Coast. When the lockdowns happened and everybody was like, I got to get out of here. This is nonsense because people were wearing four masks and asking for anal swabs. they moved to North Carolina. They literally moved to Asheville because that was like an open-minded place, you know?
Right.
And I think that was part of the play. They knew. And then also people moved to Florida, right? So it's Florida just got hit hard with the
Did you see that footage, Matt, of the black helicopters? What did they call it, Dom, when they were scattered?
Rotor washing.
So people had set up a little, you know, food camps and stuff for people to help them out. not the authorities, not FEMA, just the these black helicopters turned up, went down and just decimated it. And then
it's actually really absurd what's happening. And FEMA came in. Oh, so you guys, so the U.S. government will cut checks all day to Israel and Ukraine. I mean, we're talking billions of dollars. Well,
they need help, man.
Day long.
Yeah, they do. They need help, though. Then
they've got kids to kill. Really they can't do it with their own money. God.
Right, but now they're saying FEMA is almost out of money, and everybody gets a $750 check if they can apply and prove that they need the money. These people have lost their homes, their loved ones, their job, their towns. They've lost everything, and they get a $750 check, like one-time payment. I think it's actually very insulting and sad what's happening over here. Yeah.
Never mind the bit of vote someone in to save them.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's anywhere to vote. Horrible. It's horrible, isn't it? It's proper evil. You're watching on your own nation. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is sad. But the one positive thing is we've been planting these seeds, right? I know you guys have been at it for some time, and I have for now a decade with the chemtrail thing. 10 years I've been doing the chemtrails. You know, please, everyone, wake up to chemtrails. Watch Franken Skies. Check out the movie, all that sort of stuff. And sometimes I feel like I'm just screaming from the rooftops and no one's listening. But that metaphoric analogy of the seed of truth, right? As truth-seeking activists, we've been planting these seeds for years. And finally, the metaphoric soil is fertile. And it's fertile enough to germinate these metaphoric seeds and sprout the seeds of truth. You know, so people are finally coming to wake up. And the seeds have been, you know, planted in their noggins.
Well,
and
all that back work you did, Matt, including your film, people will be tapping into those interviews and your film now and thinking, can hell, this guy went on about it forever.
Right. Yeah. Right. Maybe he is on to something, you know. And the hurricane out of Florida, this Milton, is one of a kind. Hurricanes don't pop up in the Gulf of Mexico. They start off the coast of Africa. And it's because you have clashing hot and cold systems to make that spin, you know, like tornadoes and thunderstorms and hurricanes. They need this clashing of high and low pressure to get the hurricanes built up. But this one out of the Gulf of Mexico was fully engineered. And what they did was with these NexRad stations and magnetic pulses and whatnot, they start this spinning they start like a clockwise spin. Right. And then to keep it in its place, they create an outer eye wall with a counterclockwise spin, kind of like a yin yang. And they'll intensify this thing until they pull it back and just let it be spinning one way, like spinning a top, if that makes any
sense.
Yeah. And that's what they did with Milton. And it seems like it's all just 15-minute city, Agenda 2030, land grab. I mean, Agenda 2030 seemed like, how could they possibly pull that off and push people out of regions? But now it's starting to make sense. If they don't insure it, and if you're not allowed to live, if they tell you you're not allowed to live here anymore, and they push you into a certain region.
I mean, even taking it back just the simplest form, just to terrorize everybody constantly. You could just you do that just to terrorize everybody.
It's like anything, isn't it? Like the COVID. Yeah. Terrorize. Someone makes a shitload of money, and then we reorganize afterwards.
Yes.
With new rules, new laws, you know, it makes you think of the Eradicator Zone in Planet of the Apes, doesn't it? You know, there's going to be places where you just can't be, you know, anymore.
Hunger Games.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep.
The Hunger Games. What would I say? Oh, yeah, talking of films. What do you think of Star Wars unveiling its first trans woman stormtrooper called Sister?
Wow.
Blimey.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just what we're looking at is Star Wars unveils first look of its first trans woman stormtrooper cult Sister with armor in the color of the transgender flag.
I mean, this is in a mainstream. I mean, this is probably the biggest film franchise ever in it. Mm-hmm. They can't think of another one that's bigger.
Well, they've already decimated it, so it didn't really matter, did it?
I mean, is it right that the new Batman as a Joker thing has died on its ass as well? It's the worst performing film. I saw somewhere.
Yeah,
worst performing film in 2024.
Yeah.
Is Batman trans?
No, I think one of the... Isn't the baddie?
The Joker film you're on about.
The Joker film, yeah. Isn't there a baddie in it that's not necessarily trans but woke?
I don't know. I haven't watched it.
They change one of the characters to a woman.
No, I don't know. I've not watched it. I know Harley Quinn's in it. She was always a woman. I know they've made a... Do you remember the 90s cartoon Batman, Matt? Sorry, just to go on a tangent there. But oh, yeah. They've made another series. The same guys have made another series, and it's on Amazon. And I did watch it. I did watch it because I used to love the 90s Batman. But they've made Penguin a woman and Harley Quinn's a lesbian.
Penguina. Yeah.
Really? That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's just a woman and Harley Quinn's a lesbian.
So. they just want to confuse everybody. They really want to confuse the children. The flag. So when I was in London just now, yellow boards. Yellow boards are so cool, you guys. I went to a couple yellow board protests, and I think that that's an amazing thing. I don't know if you guys know about the yellow board protests, but
we're useless on stuff like that, Chris.
Yeah. So it's a UK. It started in New Zealand, but it's really big in the UK. And these different groups have what's called yellow board protests, where they go out on street corners with these yellow boards. And in London, they go out. There's this group that goes out twice a week ever since the lockdowns, and they do different topics each time. This time was would Big Pharma kill for profit? And they're passing out flyers and holding these signs. And every time I go, they give me the sign that says "Beep for Truth." And you're in this major intersection, and people are slamming on the horn, and a lot of amazing positive feedback.
It's the guys that stood around the roundabouts in lockdown. I saw a couple running where I live. Well, quite 3 miles away from where I live, but
I found it really hopeful in London to see. I mean, there's definitely a bunch of knobheads, but the the people that are awake, they are ethnic minorities and the working class, and they're really supportive of it all. You know, not everyone is awake, but the fact that people are out there and raising hell and bringing attention to truth and doing it twice a week, I thought it was really inspiring because we don't have that much of that over here.
Well, they do that, and then they do meet in the park, don't they, Chris?
Yeah,
stand in the park.
Yeah, stand in the parks as well, which has started in 2020.
One in Cambridge, I know that because I had a look.
Right, they're all communists there.
Yeah. Belly of the beast.
But talking of trans, me and Chris have been doing some shows on how many of these celebs have trans kids.
All of them, I've noticed. Yeah. It's unreal. It's really predatory. And when I was in London, just to interrupt you for a second, there was these trans flags. They keep adding another letter or another, like an asterisk color. Or whatever. Yeah. It's LGBTQRSTUW, you know, alpha, whatever. And for me, it's quite obvious that eventually there's just going to be a robot at the end. So we have to include the robots now and give them a bathroom and stuff. You know, Elon Musk, Aeon Flux.
Well, you laugh at that, right? There's a lady called Sarah, I forget her surname. She were part of the computer system that Google are using? The D-Wave. She were part of all that robotic stuff, and she did a seminar called Robots Have Feelings or something like that. I've got some videos of her, and she was not necessarily campaigning, but saying, in the future, robots will have rights.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Nice, isn't it? Yeah.
Isn't that lovely? So yeah. I saw a flag waving. It was a pub, and it had all the trans flags. And, they add these things so fast, I can't even keep up. It had, like, the colors and the triangle. And then there's a circle now. There's a circle in the triangle. And nobody could even tell me what the circle even meant. I found that.
I don't think I even want to know.
No.
but where does it go, Matt? Imagine 1999, right? They're gonna tell us in 2024 that it's going to be normal, or perception is normal, that a woman can cut all her bits off, grow a beard, and say she's a man, and that's pretty normal. Just walk around as they would, not be mentally challenged. And the other way around, you could do the same to a young child as well. And that's perfectly normal. Where is it in another 25 years? These minor attracted people can adopt children?
Well, it's absurd. It's really crazy. I was in London and there's parks that say you can't be a man. You can only be a woman to go into this park. But people that identify as, it's just absurd, really, because you can dress up as a woman and then get into these parks. And then that just defeats the entire purpose. I know you guys are film buffs, and I know this show is not 2 hours long anymore, so I wanted to talk to you really quick. Have you seen the movie Aeon Flux? This was MTV.
Well, a long time ago. Yeah, it's an old.
Yeah.
Is it Charlie's Front? Charlie's Front. Oh, sorry. You know about there's a cartoon, and then they made it into a film.
Yeah, and in the film, it's like transhuman. They've got like robotic eyes and all sorts of things. But the premise of the movie is there was a evil virus, and this doctor had
never
to...
a nice virus, is there? Never a nice one that's beneficial to anyone.
So there's a virus that everyone is worried about. So they created a quote cure, an inoculation, you know, shot, and it accidentally created it so that no one could procreate anymore. So this, so nobody could have babies anymore. There's total depopulation on accident, supposedly. So then the doctor who was behind it, who made the shot, he kept up this whole charade by making it so he would give people food additives, and then couples food additives, and then they would think that they're pregnant. They'd go into the doctor and be like, "I'm a little bloated, I think," and then he'd put them under and put a clone inside of them, and then they'd be like surrogate, you know. And actually, the movie Surrogates is something else too.
That is something else. Yeah,
unreal. But that the Aeon Flux, I just watched it recently, and with the fact that Elon Musk's evil child with Grimes, who sold her soul on the internet or whatever, and they're long broken up now. But she's like, they have this poster child, Aeon something Flux, whatever idiot. But it's going to be some poster child transhumanism kid. It's quite obvious. Like the next generation has a big. Yeah. Robot, bullseye, transhuman.
Well, you've said, haven't you, Chris, that there's going to be at some point a famous person, film star, pop star, whatever, come out and say, "Hi, I'm Taylor Swift, but really, I'm Jimmy Swift. Mm-hmm. And I've been lying to you all along."
Well, I've been all along, but he's got to reach a point where it's totally accepted and you're not allowed to raise an eyebrow at that. I think
they might not have any eyebrows.
I think it'll happen at some point. I saw that Aeon Flux when it came out, I remember, and I had no idea what it was. I couldn't even begin to say what it was about. But this is what they do with these, especially sci-fi films. They put all the action into it, actually detracts away from what they're actually showing you right in front of your face, don't they? Mm-hmm. I was just watching, actually? I watched half of it today. Invasion of the Body Snatchers, you know, the old one, from the 70s with... Donald Sutherland and Jeff Goldblum in it. Because, you know, I wanted to just watch something for half an hour. And I don't know, there's something about those old films, isn't there? You know, something good about, nosy about them as well. That you're looking at these.
Yeah, but they're analogue, aren't they, Chris? They've got some reality, not reality, obviously, sci-fi, but they've got some feeling in them, haven't they?
Yeah. And you're looking in people's houses and at the streets and stuff and just seeing what it was like in the 70s. I find it fascinating. But even that, when you watch that, there's loads of different connotations to Body Snatchers, isn't there, with the hive mind thing and all that lot. But it's a good
film. Think, right, what we should do is we should do a live one. Each of us pick a film that we want.
This every time we're on here, don't
we? But we should do. Pick some. I'll tell you what we have been doing. We've been doing a show, Matt, called Synchronicities. And talking about synchronicities that have happened. We've got listeners writing into their synchronicities. And it's quite interesting. And we could do a similar one with films. Because we could talk for an hour on five or six films, even if we just do screenshots. You won't be able to play them. We might be able to play the trailers because some of them haven't got copyright on. But you would be able to play some of them on a live show for people to watch and then talk about it. That'd be an interesting one. So it might
I'd love that.
We always talk about doing some kind of film show, don't we?
We need to do, don't we? I've been doing quite a lot of genealogy on actors, and we've been doing one called Assassin's Creed. We did it on Rise Above, which was basically all the famous people who are related to serial killers, assassins, or been linked with assassins or intelligence services. And because some of the research, it just sort of popped up in front of me, the research that a lot of these people, like, say, Stuart Copeland from the band The Police, his father was a station chief for the CIA. Mm. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, and so just things like that. And over here, our Tony Blair's wife was a distant relation of John Wilkes Booth, Sherry Blair, Sherry Booth. Yeah, and so all there's like a layer running through the actors. It'd be interesting to see. I like looking. So you got a film. Chris always says to me, "What got us on this?" Chris, really, the Oppenheimer film, right? And with Christopher Nolan and his brother's Jonathan Nolan, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah.
And they've both done, he's done Oppenheimer, and his brother did, what was that thing that he did?
Fallout.
So and both of them at the same time, and Westworld, both of them at the same time have done two apocalyptic nuclear Holocaust films within 2 years of each other.
6 months.
Six months, yeah.
Both released at the same time, just to plug that nuclear fear into your head.
But when I started looking, yeah, when I started looking into them, they've got a third brother, and he was accused of being an assassin, knocking somebody off in Costa Rica, and he used the name as a pseudonym, Oppenheimer, as a pseudonym in 2004. So that sort of got us on this. I wonder how many other people are linked to assassins and things like that.
Fascinating thread.
Yeah. Yeah, fascinating. Well, yeah. It freaked me. It freaked me out though. That minute, it freaked me out.
Yeah, I bet. Makes sense. Though. Nothing's a coincidence, you know. No. Well, the world's ruled by evil sociopaths, so of course they're killing people and assassinating assassins as well, you know.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what films we all came up with and who were in them. And what what links they've got back from a genealogical perspective.
It is refreshing when you watch, maybe not, I mean, when did it start? When was that Iron Flux made, Matt? It was like 90s, 2000s?
I want to say early 2000s. I definitely own it. I was blown away. I had to order it, something else. Yeah. I mean, I think we might have talked about In Time as well. We could talk about so many things.
In Time.
Have I talked to you guys about Sand Wars?
No, not going.
So it's a documentary. Yeah. PBS documentary Sand Wars, and it's so well done, and I couldn't believe that PBS is like our, you know, BBC.
Yeah, yeah.
We get some of that over here at PBS. We've got PBS channel over here.
Yeah.
So it goes into the fact that there's no sea level rise, but really what's happening to this sand. Sand's a big commodity, and it's needed for construction and like Singapore and Dubai and all these Southeast Asia and Asian countries, they need this sand to like extend their coastline and concrete to build buildings and whatnot. And you can't use sand from the desert to build these buildings. And so there's these sand mafia that come in the middle of the night and steal barges and barges and barges of sand from little country islands. And then there's rapid erosion. And then the erosion is putting these little island nations underwater, and then the media saying, oh no, look, it's global warming and sea level rise. But it's not, it's sand theft. Sand is actually ocean sand is a big commodity, and the movie really opened up, you know, my mind.
About why can't they use it from the desert, out of interest? Because I didn't
it's
know.
Too fine. It's fine, and it becomes like a perfect circle, and they need it to like bond together for concrete, and they need it like rough.
Right.
Apparently the Sahara Desert's have been flooded recently.
Is that right? I know that's what Gaddafi was trying to do.
Right.
R.I.P. Yeah. R.I.P. He was really demonized. I think Gaddafi was actually a good man, it sounds like, but what are you going to do?
Well, Libya were, I mean, I'm sure he weren't an angel, but Libya were the poorest African country, wasn't it? And then he made it the richest.
Mm-hmm.
Can't have that. Get rid of that bastard.
No. Can't have that. Especially well,
that whole Arab Spring had this, you know, big CIA stamp on it, and you know how they do. So.
Yeah.
Unreal. And then in my movie, Frankenskies, President Ahmadinejad of Iran, he even says they're draining the clouds, it's weather warfare. So they didn't really keep up with that UN agreement to not, you know, do the weather warfare thing. It's still happening in Iran, but nobody cares because Iran's been so demonized and all this sort of stuff. And it's really heating up over there now.
Yeah, but it makes you realize now what's going on now, why the demonization of the Muslim Middle East has been going on for 20 or 30 years, and it really ramped up. I mean, you know, I always say it started as well, Matt, with True Lies, because I remember going to the cinema to watch True Lies, and the baddie was a you know, Arab terrorist with loads of grenades around him and stuff, you know, greasy hair, and just, you know, and that was the first time I'd seen a Muslim badder other than a Russian. It was always Russians, wasn't it? He turned up, and I remember thinking, it's always weird. I've never seen a, you know, Annie's usually fighting a Russian or something. This Muslim terrorist is there.
Have you ever done a breakdown of Back to the Future 1 and the 9/11 references in that?
Oh, that just keeps on giving, doesn't it? I mean,
it's unbelievable. In Back to Future 1, like 1990 film, it's actually got to be, it's not even predictive programming. This is witchcraft. it says 9/11, and then it's 9/11 inverted, and then these terrorists come, and it's all
the clock's 9/11 when he gets electrocuted.
Yeah, and it's like twin pines, and it's got these two smoking twin tower things. It's very much a 9/11, like predictive programming kind of witchcraft thing all the way back with the Back to the Future. And then, oh, when he's about to, when Doc is about to go to the future, he's like, oh, I'm allergic to synthetics, and all the clothing in the future is made out of synthetic material. So I got to bring myself some cotton shirts when I go into the
future. All right, did you say that? I never heard that.
Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
The bad guy looks like Trump in the second one. He's not Trump Tower, it's Summit Tower. He's got the same haircut.
He's got a casino tower. Yeah, that's right.
As well in the second one, Matt, I remember there's a bit where, do you remember they couldn't get the guy who played his dad, Marty McFly's dad? He wouldn't come back over money arguments, so they got another guy to play him. So what they did to get around it, they made him like, for some reason, he was hung upside down. Do you remember? And when he goes into the house, on the screen is a picture of the Twin Towers, but they're falling upwards. It's like rolling upwards. But from his point of view, it'd be falling down. And there's no reason for the Twin Tower.
But why would they be in both films?
Oh, they're loaded out there. They're absolutely. Yeah. Oh, let me just point out a film thing for you guys, right? I watched a guy talk about this on YouTube over there. You know the film The Shining? Because Kubrick's films just keep giving. I mean, it's insane, isn't it? With the amount, how much they're still discussed, you know, The Shining, Eyes Wide Shut, and Dr. Strangelove, where he says, don't drink. Do you remember the bit where he's saying,
fluoride,
I only drink rainwater and distilled water. Don't be drinking any of that tap water. It's full of fluoride. But this guy pointed out something in The Shining that I've never noticed, right? And he said he's never heard anyone notice, but he doesn't know what it's about. All the way through it, and he showed it in slow motion, which you probably couldn't do with a VHS tape now. All the way through it, Jack Nicholson looks at the camera. He'll look and then he'll just fleetingly go like that and then carry on looking. And you wouldn't know unless it was slowed down. And his point, this is not conspiratorial, but the fact that he must have planted that in that film and now it's only just been found out, 50 years later, 40 years, 45 years later. And it's amazing when you see it. It's just, he'll pan across and he'll just look at the camera and keep going. And then there's a famous bit, there's a bit from the making of The Shining. Because you think, is it an accident or is, you know, Jack Nicholson being silly? There's a bit, you know, he's in the freezer and he's banging for Wendy to let him out. And he's shot from underneath. There's a bit in the making where Kubrick's underneath him. And he's saying, can you do it from here, Jack? Is there somewhere you can look down? And Kubrick's kind of laughing. Is there somewhere you can look? And he does it when he looks down. He flicks his eyes at the camera. And the guy, I think he was a film critic talking about it, was saying, you know, be open to any reason why you think that would be in there. Or is it just the fact that it's like a subconscious, I'm coming for you because he's the bad guy kind of thing?
Anyway. It's scary. Yeah, and there's a lot of Apollo disclosure in The Shining.
Yes.
Well, sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that The Shining's the Apollo one, isn't it, actually? Yeah, he's revealing the, even the room, is it room 231 or whatever? It was how far they said the moon was from Earth at the time, but he changed it from the book. Fascinating stuff. Yeah, sorry, that was a tangent.
It's good. It seems like Kubrick wanted to plant those seeds because he probably knew he was going to end up getting taken out, and he wanted to drop the truth because he felt bad, you know.
Yeah.
For what he did, you know, the moon landing and all that. Yeah, crazy.
It's fascinating. So I've got a T-shirt of that, actually. You know, the one that little Danny's wearing. Mrs. bought me a T-shirt of it.
Beautiful. Yeah. I love it.
I don't know if you knew that bit, Don, but in the film The Shining, Danny, the little boy's wearing Apollo 11.
I've seen you wearing it.
Anyway.
Elon Musk's taking over that now, anyway. He's my new hero. Should call him Hero Musk. That's what he should be called. Hero Musk. He's going to rescue them three astronauts.
Oh, really?
Up in the space center.
I saw, what is it the other day? I can't remember if someone sent me on Instagram. Sorry if you did, I can't remember. And it was, who was the first guy on the moon? Neil Armstrong. If you take Neil Armstrong backwards, it's alien. Is that right?
Yeah, or in Neil A or something like that. Yeah, it is.
Armstrong. Yeah, if you put Neil A, and you reverse it, it's alien. Is that
fascinating? Yeah, it's all, they're all disclosing it in their own, in this reverse upside down witchcraft way, probably to avoid karma. You know, it's like, oh, we told them. It's like, dude, you told us upside down backwards in an old movie. It's like, you didn't tell anybody.
It'll be interesting who they're owing this karma to, because it's certainly not us, why they have to do it, because it's certainly out there that they do tell you what they're going to do.
Even going back to the Trump thing, Matt, to those who want to see it was blatant to you and me and Dom, it was blatantly obvious where it was. It was just a shenanigans. But it's just, well, like the last 4 years nonsense, it's just amazing that someone can't see it for where it is. That's what amazed me. And like you say, you've got people in it over where you are getting angry with each other. I mean, they're vicious. It's vicious. And if you can't see, I said to someone at work the other day, if you're hating on someone, you've been programmed to hate them, generally. It's not, you know, it's like even us talking about the trans thing. We don't hate trans people. We don't have any, you know, hatred towards anyone. It's just the fact that it's an agenda and you can see it unfolded in front of your eyes.
But if it's been out there and put out there that they can spray glyphosate and turn frogs into male frogs into female frogs and female frogs into male frogs, then and all of a sudden you've got tons of people wanting to be girls when they're boys, type of thing.
And then with the media push of it as well.
Yeah.
At the same time, trendifying it through.
Throw in the mix 5 and 6G that obviously does stuff to people's endocrine systems and hormones and things like that, nervous systems, then I just don't believe that someone like Jenner all of a sudden reaches 60-odd-year-old and decides he's a woman.
No, I agree. There's definitely an attack. I mean, if you just look at the hand sanitizers and the triclosan and the hand sanitizers, it's all a big attack on the endocrine system, the food supply, even the clothing that we wear. I mean,
talking about Alzheimer's, people's memories are being wiped. So people are being lobotomized. They can't even think about, they've got no emotional attachment to history, let alone memory of history, no emotional memory to the history. You know, like when you hear a song and you get that emotional attachment to a song because you know you were doing something at that point, that thing is being cut away.
Yeah, you lose your memory and it's like, wait, did I grow up liking girls? I don't even know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, like the Vietnam thing you were talking about, Matt, with when it was open knowledge that they were using weather manipulation in Vietnam. That's been, no one remembers or has had that passed down to them. It's just forgotten. Media didn't discuss it.
But again, Chris, like we were saying about, you get an illness like Lyme disease and all of a sudden you can't eat a certain food. That's been programmed out of you. And that becomes normal then. You don't eat that food.
I had a nice nostalgic moment the other day that I'd like to share really quick. There's Jack Johnson. You know, I mean, he's kind of fruity, nice music. It's nice to listen to on a drive along the coast or whatever. But I heard this song the other day, and I was like, I really like this song. And I listened to the lyrics and then pulled up the lyrics. Jack Johnson was actually taking the piss and talking about the media in his song, Where Have All the Good People Gone? Whatever the song is, where are all the good people going or whatever. He's talking about the media and he's like, show me the truth. Where's the truth in the media? And no one's telling the truth anymore. It's actually very potent lyrics. I'm very proud of him for sneaking that in. I encourage people to pull that song up and listen to the lyrics if they can. You know, there are some truthers out there playing their part the way that they can. You got to sneak it in and get it around the system. But, you know, people try.
So like Justin Bieber talking about the P. Diddy parties. One of his songs.
Yeah, let's finish on that. What? Why now? Why now after all this time? People have been talking about this for a long time, haven't they? P. Diddy.
Like I said, it's the same as the Epstein Island thing, isn't it? Are they getting the celebrities ready for something else that they've got to not say anything about or stand up and push?
Yeah.
And is that...
I think it's a disclosure. They put everyone on the list and then they tell everybody. And then if you're still going to go out there and listen to their music and get their tattoos on your forehead or whatever and like praise and love them knowing that they're pedos, then you're basically selling your soul. You know, it's all witchcraft, really, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All soul snatching. Yeah. All right, then, Matt, we'll let you get on with the day. Got anything good planned?
There's a farmer's market in town right now, and it's waning, but it's still beautiful. And I went for a brief moment this morning. I got these pawpaws. It's a North American fruit I've never had before, and I'm excited to try that. Yeah, pawpaw. There's a native.
That one on Jungle Book, wasn't it? Well, Blue was singing.
I think
about
that's where pawpaws. I'm
the king of the swingers.
Lots of chemtrails today. Lots and lots of chemtrails. But I'm gonna get out and do the farmer's market thing, and then. That's my plan for the day is just, you know, I like to talk to the farmers. You know, the farmer's market is an amazing place because the farmers are generally very awake and it's nice to hand them my DVD and hand them the flyers and stuff like that. The general population is hit or miss, and so it's hard. And you know, but the farmers, a lot of them do care. You can actually look into their eyes and soul and tell usually if they're on the same page. But that's my favorite. I did go to a farmer's market in London. It was really cool. I loved that. And there was someone there selling only wild meat, like all sorts of wild caught meat. And I thought that was really cool. You know, like deer, pigeon, all sorts of stuff.
Game meat,
which I've never seen anything like that in the States where I live. So, but that's what I'm doing. I'm going to be doing that. And just catching up on EMF protection. Sparrow Gear, check it out. Sparrowgear.co.uk.
All right, so you've got co.uk. All right, that's what I was going to say. Can you get the English stuff from? Yeah.
Put all the links in the description.
Right.
Send them over to me, Matt. Send all the links over. Yeah.
Great, I will.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. We'll see you next time. If you're going to join us in part two, we'll see you there. If not,
bye.
It always makes me chuckle that way. Skies.